So we'll move on to our second case this morning, which is Zapata versus the Attorney General. Mr. Dominguez.
Yes, good morning, Your Honors. Anthony Richard Dominguez on behalf of Petitioner Juan Hincapié Zapata. May it please the court. The word material in the material support bar should be ascribed its plain and ordinary meaning, important or significant. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines material as, quote, having real importance or great consequence. And the Oxford Dictionary defines it as, quote, of serious or substantial import.
What are we to make of the word including? I thought the canons say that including introduces examples, and therefore, if material support includes funds would be an example of material support. We certainly have the provision of funds here, right? Does that not mean that funds are material support?
No, Your Honor, it does not mean that funds are per se material support. And this court's decision in Collins instructs us as to how we should view the illustrative list along the words including. Specifically, the court should adopt Collins a narrowing construction of the illustrative terms, which here the illustrative terms are the examples which Congress gave, which funds, communications, and other material financial benefits. However, the court should view those terms narrowly to fit within the illustrated term, which is here material support. And specifically,
why wouldn't we just give it its fair meaning? Why would we give it a narrow or a liberal reading? Why wouldn't we just read funds as an example of material support?
Well, Your Honor, that's because the word material has to apply equally to every example which Congress gave in the illustrative list.
That's true, but if they offer funds as an example of material support, doesn't that tell us that material support necessarily includes funds?
No, Your Honor, and that's because.
What's your best case for why that's not true?
I would say that this court's decision in Collins instructs us that we must read the illustrative list in a different way. And while the word material, the definition of material can change depending on the context, it always has the effect of raising the threshold of the word that it modifies. Here, material modifies the word support in that the illustrative list and the examples of support which can be given to the terrorist organization are examples of support, but they must be important or significant to the organization in order to rise to the level.
So would you agree with me that if you provided a terrorist organization a safe house, that would be material support, right?
I would believe that Congress gave an example, a safe house can be material support.
No, it says including a safe house. It doesn't say sometimes a safe house or some safe houses. It says a safe house is material support, doesn't it?
Yes, Your Honor, but I believe this court's decision in Collins instructs us that we should read the illustrative list.
So we're supposed to read the word material into safe house? So a material safe house?
A safe house could be material if it is important or substantial.
What do you want us to say in the opinion, counsel? What do you want us to write if we agree with you? Can you give us the language we would put in the opinion?
Yes, Your Honor, this court should remand the case to...
No. What do we say in the opinion to agree with your proposition here? How do we express it? What do we say?
Well, we would urge the court to adopt the plain and ordinary meaning of material, and that it
Give us the language that would go in the opinion that you want us to write.
That none of the examples given are per se material support. That
what's the point of it then? What's the point of the examples?
To give examples of things that can be material support if they are qualified and rise to the level of materiality. If I may, Your Honor.
But it doesn't say that.
If I may, Your Honor, illustrate an example here. Additionally, in the list, there is the term other material financial benefit. Here.
This really works against you, it seems to me. So it says transfer of funds or other material financial benefit, which appears to me to assume that funds are material support, just as my reading of including funds would, as an example of material support, would mean the same thing.
I would respectfully disagree, Your Honor, because of the following example. The statute says that a financial benefit, something intangible, let's say stock or something, that there is other material financial benefit. That means there is such a thing as an immaterial financial benefit. It would be, Congress could not have tended that an immaterial financial benefit when converted into a tangible cash or something's funds automatically becomes material support just because it is converted from.
Why does it say a material amount of funds or substantial funds? I mean, it says funds as an illustrative example. And then in the example you're talking about with transfer, it says transfer of funds or other material financial benefit, right?
Yes, sir.
The only way I think the English language works, and the way language works, is to read that as meaning that a transfer of funds is a material financial benefit. What's the point of the word other?
I believe that Congress was attempting to re-emphasize the fact that another material financial benefit needed to have a great importance for the organization. Had Congress intended that all funds be per se material, they could have just as easily included the word any funds as they did in the criminal statute, which has been referenced in the brief. There, Congress in the criminal statute, they defined material support as any property, tangible or intangible, or service, including currency or other financial services. Here, Congress specifically did not include the term any funds, if they had intended funds to be per se material support, they could have easily constructed the statute in a way including the term any there. Additionally, Your Honor, again, I would refer back to the illustrative list that if Congress had intended that any of the examples to per se be material support, the word material would effectively be excluded from the statute, because that would mean if any example of the support had to be material, simply that would violate the rule against avoiding surplusage, Your Honor. That would essentially make material surplusage in the statute. I don't understand that.
I don't understand how reading the list that follows the word including renders the word material surplusage. It would seem to me that if those are examples of material support, it doesn't read the word material out of the statute. It just provides you examples of what would constitute material support.
If I can put it another way, Your Honor, I don't think it would be an absurd result if, let's say under the list, any communication to a terrorist organization was classified as material support. And we must know that the word material needs to apply equally to every example. So if there's a basic just speaking to someone who is in a terrorist organization constitutes, is an example that would not rise to the level of materiality, the court should not adopt the per se rule, which would apply material in different ways throughout every example of the statute listed. Additionally, and the same goes for
What about weapons? What about weapons?
Well, weapons are an example of support. And they can, in fact,
we have to evaluate whether the weapons are material or not.
I think so, Your Honor, based on the way that Congress
explosives. Some explosives would be okay, but others explosives were not.
Well, Your Honor, while explosives might not be the best example, I do think my point is demonstrated by the idea that not all communications would be material support. In fact, the BIA in ACM actually gives the example that expressing mere general support under one definition they proffer, that the support must be something normally tangible in nature, that expression of a mere general support, let's say standing on a street corner, would not constitute material support. However, under the second definition that they give, material support is an act that logically and reasonably has a foreseeable tendency to promote, sustain, or maintain the organization, even if only to a de minimis degree. Under that inconsistent definition that they proffer, expression of a mere support, a communication, would be an example of a terrorist or a material support, which that's the exact example that they gave, which would be excluded from the definition of material support earlier in the decision under their first definition. So while we proffer, we believe that there is a plain and ordinary meaning of material here, which needs to be applied equally throughout to every example in the statute. And that plain and ordinary meaning is important or significant. Should the court disagree and find that the term material support is ambiguous, the internal inconsistencies within matter of ACM demonstrate.
Okay. Mr. Dominguez, your time has expired. You've saved 2 minutes for rebuttal. Ms. Hennis? You're on mute. We can't hear you.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, Stephanie Hennis for respondent. Petitioner in this case admits that he provided the equivalent of $100 to men that he knew were members of a tier one terrorist organization. That provision of funds constitutes material support and renders him ineligible for adjustment of status. That is true whether the court undertakes a plain meaning analysis of the statute or whether the court defers to the board's precedential decision interpreting that provision in a matter of ACM.
Mr. Dominguez says that the word including is introducing illustrative examples, but you still have to have a materiality qualification for everything in that list, or any conversation with a terrorist would constitute material support? What do you, he seizes on the word communications, which as he, I think his point is that could be just any kind of innocuous conversation. What do you say about that, Ms. Hennis?
Well, in particular, under the board's interpretation of the statute, that would not qualify, because what you would need to have is a communication that logically and reasonably has a foreseeable tendency to promote, sustain, or maintain the terrorist organization. So an innocuous communication with a terrorist organization would not meet that threshold. I would also point out that in the Ninth Circuit's decision in Ryamaji, it talked about it, it both found the that the plain meaning of the statute did not require any type of quantitative analysis and so deferred to the board's decision. But in making its determination about plain meaning, it focused on the fact that it particularly focused on funds and how the, while perhaps there could be questions about other types of material support, they focused on that other material financial benefit provision, focused on how funds in and of themselves were not qualified in any way in the statute. And this also builds upon prior case law from several circuits and the Supreme Court, noting that funds in and of themselves are going to provide support to an organization. A terrorist organization, once it has money, can use that to increase its criminal activities, to purchase weapons, to engage in illicit activities against our government or others in their country. So I would point to that, Your Honors. I would like to talk a little bit, though, about the plain meaning analysis that, the in the wake of matter of ACM, the court that has addressed this is the Ninth Circuit, and they also used a plain meaning analysis and came to the conclusion that the engage in terrorist activities means to commit an act that affords material support, and then goes on to provide a list of activities that constitute material support. There's no limiting language there. There's no minimum threshold that someone needs to surpass. And the notion of having a minimum threshold, particularly in the context of funds, doesn't make much sense from a national security standpoint, because again, money is money, and whether a terrorist organization is able to amass the funds it needs to carry out its activities, either through one large contributor or through multiple smaller contributors, the fact remains that that's the type of activity that we don't want people to be engaging in and be able to take up legal residence in our country. The other aspect of that, just to address the, there's language in there that lays out funds as an example of material support, and then also talks about a transfer of funds or other material financial benefit. And
how do you
I think
read that,
that language,
Ms. Hennis, I'm curious about that. So, do you read that as the word transfer applying to both funds and transfer of other material financial benefit? Or do you read transfer of funds as an example of material support and then other material benefit without reference to transfer as an example? Or do you read transfer as applying to both funds
I don't read transfer of funds. I don't read transfer of funds or other material financial benefit as functioning together. They're two separate concepts, and I think it gets at the overarching notion that this court...
Whoa. When you look then later in the same section where it says, would you read false documentation or identification? The word false applies to both, does it not?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I was referring to the fact that that Congress laid out transfer of funds and then was building on that, and within that was saying or other material financial benefit.
If you read that part of the statute, wouldn't you read it the same way you read the later in the list of illustrative examples? And that is that the word false applies to both the documentation and the identification.
Yeah, okay, yes, Your Honor. So I think maybe I wasn't relaying our position so well. So this is referring to transfer of funds or some other type of material financial benefit. So there's a transfer of funds or some other...
No. So a transfer of another financial benefit, right?
Yes, Your Honor. Your Honor. A transfer of some other material financial benefit. And I think the use of material there really works in concert with the board's understanding of material support. These are all classes of different ways of providing material support. And that simply shows that Congress had a broad understanding of the types of transfers that could be used and wanted to include language that would allow for transfers of funds or transfers of other material benefit that would all constitute material support.
So not only would, for example, the provision
of... Did that answer your question, Your Honor?
I think so. Can you hear me?
Yes, sorry, there's a little bit of a lag on my computer.
Yes, it may be just our distance. So it's, and now I've forgotten my question. So yeah, I think you did answer it.
I was talking about how material support is a broad concept, and this court and other courts have already acknowledged that. This court has already done so in Altero. I would also point out that in terms of the board's precedent decision in matter of ACM, the court made a little bit of a policy analysis explaining that courts, including this one, have rejected the idea that Congress wanted a duress exception to the material support bar and found it odd that Congress would be willing to decline the opportunity.
We've resolved the duress exception issue, right?
Yes.
I mean, our precedent forecloses that argument, right?
Yes. I was attempting to use that holding to explain why it makes sense that the board found that there is no requirement, that there is no exception for small amounts of funds that would be provided to a terrorist organization. The board explained that whereas in courts like this one, where the Congress decided that even people who acted involuntarily or were coerced and acted under duress, that those people still committed material support, it would be odd to conclude that someone who acts of their own volition would somehow be accepted from the bar simply because the person contributed some arguably small amount of money. And this concept of what is a small amount of money also gets at challenging questions about terrorism, how terrorist organizations function, the capacity of the individual who provided the funds in the first place. And these are simply not the types of questions that that Congress wanted the immigration courts and judges to be weighing in on. And this is where the importance of the exemptions or the waivers from the material support bar come into play, because those decisions are made by the Department of Homeland Security in conjunction with the Secretary of State and the Attorney General, all of which would have strong understandings of these sorts of national security concerns, particularly the Secretary of State. And I will note that in case the petitioner was considered for a waiver and it was denied, and there isn't any, the petitioner hasn't raised any challenge to that in this petition for review. Review is circumscribed.
I mean, if we were to agree with you that the word including just introduces illustrative examples and there's no need to read an additional materiality requirement into the statute, that funds are an example of material support, that's really as simple as the case needs to be, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
And if the court, we would argue that the court could do that in this case. Like I said, the Ninth Circuit has already done so, in lieu of exclusively deferring to the board's decision.
Well, it wouldn't be a matter of deference, would it? I mean, it would just be, as I understand your argument, it would just be the fair reading of the statute. We don't get to deference until there's some ambiguity.
Yes, Your Honor. I referenced deference simply because the Ninth Circuit's decision in Ryamaji first concluded that the plain meaning of the statute dictated that funds are always material support, but then also provided an alternative, even assuming that the statute isn't plain, they would still defer to the board's decision. So you are correct, though. A plain meaning analysis does not require any deference to the agency at all. The court would just look at the language of the statute.
Okay. Anything else?
If there aren't any other questions, I would ask that the court deny the petition for review based either on a plain meaning analysis of the statute or by deferring to the board's precedent decision in matter of ACM. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Mr. Dominguez, you've saved 2 minutes. I have a question for you before you get started. I mean, you brought up the surplusage canon. If we're to read a materiality element into everything in the illustrative examples, then why use the word material again in other material financial benefit? If it's to be read in, then to everything in the list, then it seems to me your reading leads to surplusage because it means that the word material should not have appeared again later.
Governor, I believe Congress was re-emphasizing the fact that a financial benefit...
It's just a redundancy?
I believe it's a redundancy and essentially sloppy drafting, Your Honor. No matter what definition this court defines, prescribes to material, of course, we proffer that it should be the plain, ordinary, and common definition of important. There is going to be some surplusage given that in the second material standard, as the concurrence in the Ninth Circuit points out. However, it makes the most sense when material is ascribed its plain, ordinary, and common meaning. The most in that meaning is that it must be important or significant support to rise to the level of materiality. And we would request that the court adopts a holding in this case ascribing that plain and ordinary meaning of material to the material support bar in this case. I would like to add, Your Honor, that it would simply be unconscionable should the court announce a per se rule that any funds, no matter the amount, are material support. First of all, that goes against the way we should, Collins instructed us
to describe the amount of funds. How should we describe the amount of funds which would be material in your view?
Well, Your Honor, the court need not set that boundary here because the BIA did
well,
not.
Well, if we say that the funds here are not enough, we'd have to suggest what would be enough.
Well, the court has suggested in the Alturo decision that about, I believe it was $1,200 was sufficient to rise to the level of material support. Again, because the BIA did not find that the $100 of provided in this case was in fact material, they simply basically announced the per se rule that no matter how little the funds, because the terrorist organization can aggregate those funds, okay, that it rises to the level of material. However, the Immigration and Nationality Act focuses.
Mr. Dominguez, your time has expired, so you need to wrap it up.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. We would respectfully request that the court remands a case to the BIA to consider whether the $100 individually was in fact material support.
Okay, thank you.